السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال إبراهيم رب اجعل هذا البلد آمنا واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام رب إنهن أضللن كثيرا من الناس فمن تبعني فإنه مني ومن عصاني فإنك غفور رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حج لله فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, and our sisters who are present, and those who are listening to the streaming, Alhamdulillah, once again we have the good fortune to be in your pious company. And through the blessings, sacrifices, and the zeal and enthusiasm with which you sit, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow the mazmoon and the topic to flow accordingly. This particular gathering, it's regarded as what we term as a islahi zikr majlis. So it is not a talk which is based on a specific topic. Sometimes you have a talk, and then they have the topic of the talk will be the significance of qurbani, or the importance of qurbani. And these talks are not only permissible, but they are necessary. That for the purposes of educating the general public, so these kind of talks are necessary. This particular talk and these kind of talks are basically islahi majalis, which basically means talks and programs which are related to our spiritual reformation. The spiritual reformation of each individual, as we had mentioned 2 weeks ago in this very venue, is extremely essential. It is so important, respected elders and brothers, that even in the world of the disbelievers, they also talk about inculcating certain traits and qualities within oneself in order to be able to work in the workplace, and in order for people, for an individual to become agreeable. So this person has got a very good temperament. He's the ideal person for a manager. Or he is a very disciplined person. He's the ideal person for this particular post or that particular post. In other words, he has got certain qualities within himself. He doesn't have an ego. He's a very humble person. He's a very down-to-earth person. In the same way, the spiritual reformation of an individual involves eliminating these bad tendencies, these evil traits within oneself. Sometimes we do not even realize these evil qualities are prevalent within ourselves. There was a certain gathering that took place, just to make you understand. And in that gathering there was a person who was senior, who had previously been working in a certain organization. And because of that person not following the systems of that organization, we know for any organization or business to function, we've got certain systems that are put in place. And the employer, the manager, the boss of that business knows why he has put those systems in place. He is in a position where he can understand the working mechanisms of that business. So he says, listen, this is your job description, this is what you need to do. And a person won't ask him if the employee, the worker says, but why must I do this? First tell me why. Until you don't tell me why, I'm not doing this job. So that boss will say, am I working for you or are you working for me? Like, it doesn't make sense. So there are systems that are put in place, and obviously the person who's employed, if he doesn't follow the systems, inevitably the person will lose his job, he'll lose his position, or he'll stagnate, he'll remain where he is and he won't be promoted. The person who's running a business, and if there's a position, there's an opening in a certain department, so which staff member will he choose? Will he choose the one who is not motivated, who's always got a problem with every system that he puts in place and always questioning? Or on the other hand, you have another worker, who's at the beck and call of the employer. And not only does he fulfill those systems, but he goes the extra mile. As one person mentioned, that he is a CEO of a certain company. So he had one of his workers who was in charge of all his affairs. So he had a very high profile meeting taking place. There were people from overseas coming to meet him. So he told him, listen, I want you to prepare all those documents, put it together, and we need to do a presentation with regards to whatever it may have been. So he says this worker of his, not only did he compile the documents, but he also prepared a list of questions that the CEO could ask those people who are coming internationally for him to get a better understanding of how that particular relationship would function. So he told him, listen, boss, this is what you asked for, and these are a list of questions that if you want to, if you feel it appropriate, I've also prepared these questions related to this. So he said, I was so impressed with this worker of mine. And he said, not only that, after the meeting took place, I said, listen, I've got a few questions I would like to ask you all. He said, those international businessmen, when they saw the kind of questions I put across to them, they were so impressed.
Allah.
So now the entire image of that CEO was boosted all because of this particular employee. So now, an employee who's so motivated, obviously when there's an opening, when there's an opportunity to advance and to be promoted, so that boss, when he's looking for someone to take that position, who will he look? First person will be given preference to his who. Sometimes you wonder how come I'm not being chosen, how come always that person is being chosen. But if you are in a managerial position and you had individuals who are like this, then obviously you're going to choose that person who's motivated. And as for that person who always has a problem and is, you know, so to say, lazy, and you're going to push him and he takes two steps, then you're going to push him again and he takes another two steps. So now it becomes very difficult to work with that kind of person. So in any case, this person was very senior, and unfortunately not fooling up and not really meeting up to the expectations of that particular company, organization. So eventually those who were junior, surpassed that person. So now that person made the statement, the person said that, look at these people. The young ones come, and they want to take all the positions, and they have no respect for us. Now, if you look at that statement, the person says that they have no respect for us. When a person says they have no respect for us, then what the person is saying is that I am a person who should be respected. I am a person, I am such an important person that I need to be respected. Everybody must respect me. And Allah knows best. But more often than not, that kind of an attitude is born out of pride and takabbur. That is born out of pride and takabbur. The reality is that every person should regard himself as not worthy of any respect whatsoever. Person keeps on focusing on his sins. Even if the person is a boss and is an employer and has reached the highest position, but if his nazar is always on his weaknesses, on his sins, and where will that person ever be proud of? Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, a very great saint of our time and author of approximately 1,200 kitabs, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Huda rahimahullah from Syria. He has written a kitab, and in that kitab is spoken about Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. He said that imagine this person lived just till about 60. Until the age of 60, he was able to write 1,200 kitabs.
Allah.
And of those 1,200 kitabs, one particular kitab runs into good few volumes. Mm. Can you imagine?
Allah.
So he said, if you try and do a calculation of the number of pages, then it means that from the time this person was born, every day he was writing plus minus 15 pages.
Allah.
It's impossible for a person to be writing from the time he's born. But it just doesn't make sense to the. But Allah Ta'ala gave such blessings, so such a level he reached. But he used to say, he says that I can never suffer from pride, because there's always something eating me from within myself, and that is this fear that I don't know what's going to happen to Ashraf Ali on the day of Qiyamah before Allah Ta'ala. Completely annihilating himself. So that person who's focusing on his weaknesses and his faults, where will he ever suffer from that ego that people must be respecting me? Now the juniors come and surpass me, and now they don't show me respect. This is born out of takabbur and pride. These are the things that are so detrimental for ourselves. And really, respected elders and brothers, when we develop these qualities, when we annihilate ourselves, when we humble ourselves, when we are the first to seek forgiveness, then what will happen? Within our homes, within our circles, people will be attracted to us. Our homes will become Jannat on earth. That home will be Jannat on earth. This husband is considering the wife, the husband, the husband is giving preference to the wife, the wife is giving preference to the husband, each one is considering the next person. Subhanallah, what a home that will be. Think of the incident of Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. One Sahabi prepared some food, and Nabi Kareem saw some worked on the Sahaba to that extent. And here we're speaking about people who were worse than animals.
Mm.
Not that these people were so pious and, you know, so they were born saints of the time. These people, the Sahaba Ikiram, were at one time burying their own daughters alive. This was their condition. They were murdering, they were looting, they were taking property. The widows were treated like absolutely nothing. But Nabi Kareem Sassam had such an impact on those Sahaba that when Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu anhu was made shaheed, his daughter, who was now an orphan, there was a fight that took place between the Sahaba, that which Sahaba is going to take this daughter and look after her. Each one was, no, I will look after this one. Sahaba, no, I want to look after this one. Saying, I want to look after. Some Sahaba cried when they saw this. They said, imagine our condition was once that girl would cry, but we will continue throwing sand on her until we drowned her sound and we buried her alive.
Yes.
Now our condition is such that we're crying to look after the girls. This was the complete change that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made on the hearts of the Sahaba Ikram, to the extent that the late Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah used to give their description. He said the condition of Medina Sharif was this, that if, for argument's sake, hypothetically, if there were 100 people living in Madinatul Munawwara, and if one person went through some difficulty, one person had difficulty, is going through somebody passed away, some calamity befell him, then there were 99 people to support him.
No.
99 people to console him. And if there were 100 people living, and one person was experiencing some happiness in his life, there's a marriage in the family, or a child has been born in the family, it's a moment of excitement. Then there were 99 people to share in his happiness and his excitement. To the extent that is mentioned in the riwayat, like one Sahabi once, he prepared some, he had extra meat, so he prepared that meat. We know the condition in Medina Sharif was such in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, great difficulty, poverty, Sahaba had to live in difficult conditions. So he prepared that meat and he said that Alhamdulillah, we've got this meat. So he took that meat, he had enough for himself, and he sent it to his neighbor. When the neighbor received that meat, he said, Alhamdulillah, we do have some food. Let's give it to our neighbor. So he passed it to his neighbor. And it carried on. It is mentioned in riwayat that that meat, this is not a fairy tale, that meat continued right down the street. It went across, it went back up the street, until eventually it came back to the very Sahabi who had prepared it initially. That means every single Sahabi, his heart was polished to that extent that he gave consideration and regarded the next person as more in need and he should be given preference over himself. Allah. This was that polishing of the heart that took place in the Sohbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, respected Allah and brothers, this Islahi Majalis, that's the goal, that's the purpose, that we need to start transforming our lives and becoming insan in the true sense of the word. There's one wali of Allah. Allah Ta'ala had given him a certain quality which is regards called kashf. Allah Ta'ala opens up for certain walis of Allah Ta'ala many, many incidents of this nature. Even in the time of Sahaba Ikiram, Allah Ta'ala opened certain things and they were able to see. It doesn't mean that they had knowledge of the unseen. Allah Ta'ala, through His command, Allah opens up certain things. And sometimes these Ahlullah, because they polish their heart to that extent and they're such experts in the field, that they immediately able to pick up what's the weakness. The example of this is a doctor. A doctor that is, mashallah, he's smiling, yeah, and you see him get happy, mashallah. So there was a certain doctor who, when he reaches that level of experience, so sometimes he just looks at the patient walking in, because he's so experienced, that the patient doesn't even have to mention his symptoms, he already says, no, I can see. You seem like you have bronchitis, you have got, you know, you got a high fever, I can just see from your eyes. Your eyes tell me that you have very high fever. In the same way, those friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who polish themselves, sometimes they just look at the person, and within seconds they can already diagnose what this weakness of this person is. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi was once making wudu, and there was a youngster next to him. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, Allah Ta'ala gave him that sifat and quality that when a person would make wudu, he would actually see the sins of that person getting washed away. The minor sins of that person getting washed away. So one occasion he saw a youngster, so he said, son, you must respect your parents. So he could see that particular sin that was being washed away from that particular individual. So there was one wali of Allah, when he used to come out of his house, he used to tell his khadim, I'm putting a blindfold, I hold your hand and you take me. So he used to enter the masjid blindfolded. He said that because when I enter the masjid, I don't see human beings. I will see a person in the form of a swine. I'll see a person in the form of a lion. I'll see a person in the form of a snake. Allah. In other words, what he was seeing is that person, although he may have been a human being outwardly, but internally he had the qualities of a lion, that he was willing to be merciless and tear his opponent apart. Or the person was a snake, he was venomous. Or the person was, he had a filthy heart like a swine, and that would be shown. That this person is like an animal. Yes, he may be a human being externally, but internally he is like a human. That is why there is a need for us to become human beings in the true sense of the word. That humanity must come within ourselves. That love, that kindness, that consideration for the next person, that sympathy, that empathy, that selflessness, that quality of being selfless. That a person puts everybody else before him and others come after him. So nevertheless, respected Allah and brothers, we are now currently in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, and soon the month of Dhul-Hijjah will commence. There are many spiritual lessons that we can learn from this month of Dhul-Qa'dah, from the incident that took place in the life of Hazrat Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, we know the incident. The incident is that if we study the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, then you'll find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave certain command to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam which doesn't make sense to the logic. It doesn't make sense. He instructs Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam to take your wife and the child and go to one barren valley. There's no water, there's absolutely no vegetation, nothing. Nothing. So leave your wife and you move. This is my command. Now this is what we call submission and submitting oneself to the will and to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course it was a command of Allah ta'ala. It doesn't mean that now we must, you know, leave our wives and children without any provisions, and then the person goes and spends 40 days in the company of his sheikh, or the person goes out 40 days in the path of Allah ta'ala and he didn't leave any money for his wife and his children. And so it's just like how was Ibrahim alayhi salam, like how he left his children in the valley with no water and no food. Inshallah Allah ta'ala will send some zamzam from the sky. Allah ta'ala will provide for him. Ulama explained that that is called qiyas ma'al fariq. In other words, you cannot use that incident to try. That was a command coming from directly from Allah ta'ala. When Allah ta'ala gives a command, whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense, we have to comply to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yeah, Allah ta'ala had given the command, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, and the noble wife of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, they had such yaqeen in the command of Allah that if Allah has commanded us to do this, then Allah knows what he's doing. Allah knows what he's doing. Allahu amaraka bihada. The wife of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, she inquired, that is, you are leaving me like this, but just one thing I want to know. Has Allah commanded you to do this? He says, yes. إِذَا لَيْ يُضَيُّعُنَا. If that's the case, then Allah will never allow us to be destroyed. Allah will look after. Her level of tawakkul is so high. And then look at that, through her sacrifices, through her yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala made it such that every person who goes for Umrah and Hajj must run that Safa Marwa, must remember her sacrifices till the day of Qiyamah. This is when a person does something solely and only for the pleasure of Allah. When a person has that yaqeen in Allah ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala gives that baqa. When a person annihilates himself or herself in fulfilling the command of Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala gives life to that amal. Allah gives life to that action. Today this is the missing ingredient, respected elders and brothers. Our ulama have explained the missing ingredient in our actions and in our activities, whether it's teaching of deen, whether it's building a masajid, whether it's contributing to the darul ulooms, to the extent that now qurbani will be taking place. The missing ingredient in so many of our actions is ikhlas. Ikhlas. Now the person qurbani time, what happens? And one family member bought a goat for such a price. So now other family members say, you know what, let's see if we can get a higher, more expensive one. Of course, it doesn't mean this is always the case. But it's happening and it's becoming a trend. Where now we are trying to compete with one another so that on the day of Eid, who can get the most attention? Because you see how my animal is, your animal is. We may not say it, but we're excited that, you know, we must get all the attention on the day of Eid. So we're not saying that we must not purchase the good quality animal, it is qurban you are presenting before Allah Ta'ala. But try and develop the quality of ikhlas. That whether people see the animal that we purchase or they don't see the animal, that is not our concern. Our concern is Allah must see. Allah must see our action. Allah must accept it. Don't worry about what this one is doing and what that one. You look at your budget, you do what is within your heart, and do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. An amal which is done with ikhlas, look at that. I was mentioning to the teachers last week that even in our teaching, look at such a great thing. Sometimes the person is a ustad in a madrasa, he's teaching Quran Sharif. But he's teaching Quran Sharif for the wrong intention. He's teaching Quran Sharif because he wants the money. That's what he's teaching for. And this can be understood from the hadith of Hijrah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Innamal a'malu bin niyyat." That actions are based on the intention. And this hadith, the shan-e-wurud of this hadith, is that one particular sahabi, We know that the Sahaba migrated from Makkah to Al-Mukarrama to Medina Sharif when it became very, very difficult for them to practice Islam. It reached a point, it was torture, absolute torture. Nabi Kareem Sassam gave permission first to go to Abyssinia, then they returned. They were tortured again. Finally, Allah Ta'ala says, right, now you may make hijrah, make hijrah, make hijrah. And this hijrah was such a thing where they had to leave everything behind. They were not even allowed to take any valuables. They were chased out. They had to leave their cattle behind. They had to leave their livestock behind, which was their wealth. And they had to go to Medina Sharif for absolutely penniless. Start from the ground up, rebuild their lives. What a sacrifice it was. So those Sahaba who made that hijrah, they had one intention. That it's becoming difficult for us to practice Islam in Makkah Sharif. So we want to go to Medina Sharif so that it becomes easy for us to fulfill Allah's command.
Allah.
They're doing it for Allah's pleasure, nothing else. Yes, at the back of the mind it may have been there that look, okay, by the way, also I have to start up some business, I have to do this, I have to do that there. But the primary objective was the pleasure of Allah. But there was one Sahabi of Rasulullah. He wanted to get married to a girl, a woman in Medina Sharif. So she said, look, I'll get married to you, I accept your proposal on condition. One condition is that you must make hijrah to Medina Sharif. So he agreed. And he also made hijrah. The actions outwardly both appeared the same. Here there are some Sahaba who are migrating to Makkah, from Makkah to Medina Sharif. And here he is also making hijrah from Makkah to Medina Sharif. But internally there was a world of difference. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the command of Allah Ta'ala, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. Every word that came out of the Mubarak lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was nothing but wahi from Allah Ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتْهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتْهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. That person who makes hijrah for Allah and His Rasul, his hijrah for his Allah is for Allah and His Rasul. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتْهُ لِدُنْيَا. And that person who makes hijrah for dunya, أو إِمْرَأَةً, or for a woman, yankihuha, who he wants to marry, for hijratu ila ma hajrat. His hijrat is for that purpose. It's not for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got very high level of self-honor. Allah does not share in his ibadat. Allah can't say, okay, no, never mind, you can do for me too and you can do for that too. Allah ta'ala wants that when we make ibadat and any action for him, it must be solely and only for Allah and Allah alone. No one
else.
So therefore, respected elders and brothers, this qurbani too that we'll be undertaking, it should be solely and only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, no ulterior motive. And therefore, keep on renewing the intention. Keep on renewing the intention. One beautiful dua to make is that Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'a wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Which means that Ya Allah, I seek protection, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'a, that I make any shirk and ascribe any partners to you. Wa ana a'lam, and I know about it. Wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam, and Ya Allah, I seek forgiveness for that which I may have done inadvertently, without even realizing. So ulama-i kiram mentioned that there are different kinds of shirk. One is a shirk-e-akbar, that the person ascribes partners to Allah Ta'ala. In other words, he worships another deity besides Allah Ta'ala. Like how many people worship in Allah, and it's the God of the rain and the God of the sun. And so they're ascribing partners to Allah Ta'ala. This is shirk, shirk-e-akbar. And then there's shirk-e-khafi, that a person makes ibadat. He's a believer, he believes in one Allah. But he makes ibadat, but he also has ulterior motives. And the person says, I'll go to the masjid, and my boss sees me there, you know, or I'm planning to put a proposal in that house. So the father of the girl, if he sees me in the first sub, then you know, inshallah, I've got a better opportunity, a better chance. So he, unfortunately, he's making ibadat for an ulterior motive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect
him.
That amal is kicked out of the court of Allah. It's not rejected, it's not accepted in the court of Allah. So therefore, constantly we should make this intention that when we come in the masjid and when we do any amal, do it for Allah only. Do it for Allah Ta'ala only. Don't worry about whether the person is, sometimes you come in the masjid and now you say, the thought comes in our mind, let me sit in the first sub. Now you say, but what will they think about me? You know, it's very biased now, he's sitting in the first circle. That too is an indication that a person has got people in his heart. The person must have Allah alone. Don't worry about what this one will say and what that one will say. What Allah will say is the most important thing. May Allah, I don't have it, but make dua Allah Ta'ala can grant me also ikhlas. Ameen. And all of us ikhlas. But Hazrat Mu'ayyidu Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, this is the missing ingredient. And when we develop ikhlas, that action has such a profound impact, and Allah Ta'ala allows that action. Innamal a'malu bin niyyat. We require time for this, but that word niyyat is from nawa. Nawa means a seed. A seed. They say the greater the quality of the seed, the better the produce. A person plants a good quality seed, after some period of time, the fruits that will be born from that particular tree will be such that hundreds, if not thousands of people will benefit from it, and many more fruit trees can be planted therefrom. And amal is the same. That amal that is done with ikhlas is like a seed. And that quality of that seed is such that when we do that small amal with ikhlas, it may not happen instantaneously. You don't see a tree growing within 24 hours. It takes sometimes years before the tree reaches its full growth. And then it may take a few more years before it starts bearing fruit. Many, many years. Sometimes the person will do that amal, he may not even see the result of his amal in his life. But Allah Ta'ala makes it such that after he leaves this world, that amal has such a profound impact that not only do the people of that locality benefit, but sometimes hundreds if not thousands of people benefit. And there are so many examples of this nature. May Allah Ta'ala grant that ikhlas. Therefore, when we're doing this qurbani, there are so many examples that we can take from that animal too, from the action of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. One of the important qualities of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he was prepared to sacrifice everything, he was prepared to put everything aside and submit himself to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example is that sacrifice on the day of qurbani. So if you look at the day of qurbani, that animal, so to say, is sacrificing itself in the name of Allah Ta'ala. You're putting that animal down. And that animal is being sacrificed in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is not asking us to put our necks down and to cut our necks and to sacrifice our blood. But we should take lesson from that. That yes, I don't have to sacrifice my life for Allah Ta'ala, but at least I can sacrifice my evil desires. At least I can take that knife of taqwa and run that knife of taqwa over my evil desires. And then a great arif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah, used to say, used to give the example. He said, when you see the horizon, when the sun rises, so first there's absolute darkness, and then suddenly it starts becoming a bit lighter, and then you find the entire horizon becomes red. From one end to the other, it becomes red. And then after that, the sun rises and all darkness disappears. He says, in the same way, our heart will have a lot of evil, dark desires. There's evil, dark desires. But as the person takes that knife of taqwa and he starts running that blade, that sharp blade of taqwa over the evil desires, now slowly it starts brightening, that heart becomes brightened, metaphorically. And then eventually now he's shattering his evil desires. So now the blood of his evil desires is flowing. Like on the day of Qurbani, that blood flows. So the blood of his evil desires is flowing. Everyone else is involved in that particular sin. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. And inside he's feeling it, but I'm getting left out. Everybody else is going. But he's carrying on, he's allowing it to flow. Until eventually that horizon of his heart becomes red with the blood of sacrificing for the pleasure of Allah. What's the outcome? That the suns of the mahabbat and ma'rifat of Allah rise in that heart. And then when the suns of Allah Ta'ala's mahabbat, Allah's love and Allah's recognition, when it rises in that heart, darkness all disappears. All that darkness disappears. Now that person has got such ruhaniyat and such light and such tranquility and such serenity within his heart, that although outwardly people look at him and say, well, this person has got nothing. He's got a small little hut. He's sleeping on a brick. What can he be enjoying life? But he's got such enjoyment in his life. That is Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah used to say, he used to address the Mughal king. He says, oh Mughal kings, when you leave this world, you leave all your jewelry and your pearls and your gems behind. But Radha Shah Waliullah Muhaddid Dehlavi Rahmatullah, He said, when Shawaliullah, when he leaves this world, he will take the pearls and the gems of the Muhabbat and Marifat of Allah with him in his grave. He'll go with him. That you can't take from the heart. Those qualities and that Muhabbat and that Marifat of Allah Ta'ala that comes in the heart, that you can't steal. Person can steal your wealth, he can steal your cell phone, he can steal your wallet, he can steal your car, he can hijack your vehicle, he can break your house and demolish it. But can he destroy that Muhabbat and that Marifat of Allah that has been developed within your heart? That can't be stolen. Oh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these beautiful Amen. Qualities. These are just some of the lessons that we can take from Qurbani. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to revive the spirit of Qurbani. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a time will come in my ummah when nothing will be left of Islam except the name. Ulama ikram explained that it means that there will be, people will be going for hajj. People will be doing Qurbani. People will be performing salah. But that spirit and that soul of Qurbani, that spirit and soul of salah, that spirit and soul of hajj will not be there. It will not be there. It'll just be a bunch of rituals. I go from here to there. Right, what's next? Let's do this next. Right, we're going to Mina now. Let's go to Mina. The aircon was very nice. The tent was very nice. Right, Shara, when we're going home, finish. Nothing. The person didn't get any, he didn't feel any closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't feel that he connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Qurbani should be such, respected elders and brothers, that when we make that Qurbani, we should feel that we've connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, respected elders and brothers. This Qurbani was something that was in every ummah. Allah Ta'ala made it such that in the time of Adam alayhi salam, they would also have to offer a sacrifice of an animal. But there was one more condition, that that animal had to be taken to a mountaintop to now realize whether that animal has been accepted or not. A lightning used to come down from the sky, and if that animal was accepted, it would be burnt. And if the lightning didn't come, then bichara, that person had to go find one place to hide his face. How embarrassing that would have been. Allah Ta'ala kept it a secret that we don't even know whether our animal is accepted or not accepted. And that in that way, the person is saved from any kind of embarrassment. And Allah has such muhabbat for the ummah of Rasulullah SAW that Allah Ta'ala has advised us to also eat from that. There the animal got completely burnt. It was a burnt carcass, nothing. You couldn't benefit in any way whatsoever. That was the sharia, that was the command of Allah Ta'ala. But in the ummah of Rasulullah, Allah Ta'ala made it such that we make the qurbani too. You don't have to worry whether it's accepted. We have hope, inshallah, Allah is accepting it. Carry on making amal and make tawbah and istighfar. And you too can eat from that animal, feed the poor too, and you also partake in it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to develop and revive the true spirit of qurbani. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to develop the quality of qurbani within our lives, and that is to sacrifice our evil desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll make some zikr.
La ilaha illallah. 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
الله جل
جلاله وتعالى
الله 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 الله
الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وكريم الله رحيم الله مصفقين بأمي كريم الله يا الله تبير مزر الكرم يا الله you granted us the tawfiq to gather here tonight يا الله الله يا الله many many brothers have traveled from far يا الله يا الله they have sacrificed their nights يا الله they worked the entire day يا الله but yet يا الله they have sacrificed these moments to travel the distance and many Ya Allah, kept awake, Ya Allah, and sat down for this program, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this is an indication, Ya Allah, that they have love and muhabbat for you, Ya Allah. Allah, accept the qurbani and sacrifices of each and every individual, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, sadqa Allah wa ala manajim. Ya Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our hearts, Ya Allah, full of evil desires, Ya Allah, malice, greed, pride, ego, and arrogance, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you the only one who can purify our hearts.
Yes,
give us hearts that are clean and pure, Ya Allah. Hearts which are full of love, muhabbat, Ya Allah.
Ameen.
Full of humility, Ya Allah.
Ameen.
Oh Allah, full of sympathy and generosity,
Ameen.
Ya Allah. Full of selflessness, Ya Allah.
Ameen.
Full of courage, Ya Allah.
Ameen.
Ya Allah, strength and courage, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, to give up evil desires for your pleasure, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are sinful servants of yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we commit sin from the morning to the night, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but you are a most forgiving, loving Allah.
Ameen.
Ya Allah, you have an ocean of forgiveness, Ya Allah.
Ameen.
Ya Allah, you have called out. Is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him, Ya Allah?
Ameen.
You get happy when the sinful ones turn towards you, Ya Allah.
Ameen.
Ya Allah, once again we are raising our begging bowls before you.
Ameen.
Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah.
Ameen.
Our major and our minor sins, Ya Allah.
Ameen.
Those which you committed knowingly, unknowingly in the light of day and darkness of night, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our akhlaq and our character, Ya Allah, is so crooked, Ya Allah.
Yeah.
We are like animals, Ya Allah, in terms of our character and our akhlaq, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are so selfish and deceitful, Ya Allah. Full of anger and revenge, Ya Allah.
Yeah.
Oh Allah, bless us with the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, what noble and beautiful akhlaq he had, Ya Allah. That those individuals who injured him, those individuals, Ya Allah, for whom his sahaba lost their lives, Ya Allah. Those individuals, Ya Allah, who threw the filthy intestines of the camel on his back when he went into sajda. But Ya Allah, when Fateh Makkah, when they came to him and sought forgiveness, his response was, La tathlib alaykum
yawm.
That today there is no revenge. May Allah forgive each and every one of you. Ya Allah, what a forgiving heart he had, Ya Allah. What a loving heart he had, Ya Allah. What a caring heart he had, Ya Allah. What level of consideration he had, Ya Allah. Allah, bless us with those beautiful sifat and qualities, Ya Allah. Allah, make us ambassadors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, ambassadors of the deen of Islam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, today our akhlaq is such, Ya Allah, that we are standing at the door of Islam, preventing people from entering Islam, Ya Allah. Allah, through our beautiful akhlaq, Ya Allah, let us attract more and more people into the fold of Islam, Ya Allah. Allah, blow the winds of hidayat, Ya Allah, in this area, Ya Allah, in this country, Ya Allah, in the entire world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept us for the khidmat and the service of your great deen, Ya Allah, your great religion, Ya Allah. Keep us firm on iman, Ya Allah. Take us with iman, Ya Allah. Raise us on the day of qiyamah with iman, Ya Allah. Protect our progenies till the day of qiyamah, Ya Allah. Bless us with barakat in every single ni'mah and bounty that you have granted us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, this masjid, Ya Allah,
keep it, Ya Allah, abad, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep it populated, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep it occupied in your obedience, Ya Allah. Let it become, Ya Allah, a center and a markaz of hidayat and guidance, Ya Allah. Of knowledge, Ya Allah. Allah, produce the Ghazalis, the Rumis, Ya Allah, of the time, the Bukharis of the time, Ya Allah. Allah, let many Hubbaz be produced from this masjid, Ya Allah. Allah, we are weak, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but you are not weak, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there is absolutely no weakness in your churches, Ya Allah. Allah, we are looking at your vast treasures, Ya Allah. We are looking at your power, Ya Allah. We are weak, but you are not weak, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, anything is possible for you, Ya Allah. Allah, you blow the winds of hidayah throughout the continents, Ya Allah. Make us means of hidayah for millions of people to the day of Qiyamah. Allah, bless us with ikhlas, Ya Allah. Bless us with sincerity in our a'mal and our actions, Ya Allah. Those, Ya Allah, who will be undertaking qurbani, accept the qurbani, Ya Allah. Give them ikhlas, Ya Allah. Those, Ya Allah, who do not have sufficient financial wealth for qurbani, Ya Allah. Allah, grant them the tawfiq to revive the spirit of qurbani within their lives, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, you grant plentiful of halal this to each and every individual. Those who have gone for hajj, make the hajj maqbool and maqbool. Those who have not gone for hajj, Ya Allah. Allah, you create the means for them to go, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are well aware of all the good desires and aspirations of each and every individual who has raised his own hand before you, Ya Allah. Fulfill all the good desires and aspirations. Whatever difficulty, pain, taqleeq they are going through, alleviate it, Ya Allah. Allahumma malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله
الله
أكبر.